word is one, as I was studying for it and wrote it, I was like, man, God, this is life-changing for me. So I want you to be ready to receive it today. Are you ready? Amen. All right. So if you think about the desires that people have in life, right? A lot of people have lots of different desires, but there's a desire that's pretty common to all men. Success, right? I'm not talking about necessarily fame and all that, but just being successful in the things that we do. How many of you want to fail in life? Like, you want everything that you try to do to be a failure? Nobody, okay? Everybody desires success. It's something that we want, but when we go to define that, right, each person, if you ask them what success means for them, it's probably going to mean something different, right? It depends on what their goals are. It depends on what their passions are, what they're trying to do. You know, for some people, you know, for me, getting married was a success. I didn't think anybody's going to ever want to marry me. You know, God brought Christy in my path. You know, that was a success. Having kids, going to college, graduating from college, getting a good job or a career, all these things can be considered successes. Being promoted in a job, being wealthy can be a success. Being known can be a success, right? Depends on your perception of success. All these things can be a success to a person, okay? These are successes by the world standards, though. These are these, you know, worldly things. It's not necessarily a bad thing to look at these as success, but a lot of times, unfortunately, what we see is people will measure their worth by these successes. By, am I married? Do I have, you know, two kids or four kids? Or do I have this kind of job? Am I wealthy? Do people know my name? People look at these things and a lot of times measure their worth by them. So again, they can be good things in life. It's not that we shouldn't pursue them and look at them as success stories, but all these things are temporary. You realize that even marriage, that's temporary. That's for this life on this earth. Happiness that is provided by these things is also, guess what? Temporary, right? It's only for a time, for a season, some shorter than others. And all of these things pursue, they drive people to pursue goals and things in their life to call them a success. But what about God's measurement? Have you ever thought about that? What's God's measurement of success? Like, when does God look at me and say I'm successful? Does he look at me getting married and say that I'm successful? Well, if you're marrying the one that he's got appointed for you, then certainly. Is he saying having children is success? Well, sure it is. He has a hand in that. Without him, you wouldn't be able to make those kids anyway. But that doesn't mean that if you don't have those things that you're not successful, right? If you don't have, you know, a six-figure job, it doesn't mean that you're not successful. Because we're talking about, what does God look at me and what does he see as being a success? So that's what I want to look at today. And, you know, we often talk about Christianity as being a selfless religion. How many of you agree with that? We're to be selfless, right? That's part of what the whole thing is based on. We're supposed to sacrifice, right? Amen. We're supposed to sacrifice. We're supposed to serve others. Amen. All right. We're supposed to be givers, right? As a Christian, you are expected to be a giver, right? All the things that we got to give. Give your money. Give your time. Give your wisdom. Give your talents. Give, give, give. It's all we're ever asked. We're asked to just give, right? We talk about this being a selfless religion because it is. And I do agree that we should be givers. And I do think that the way we should live our lives is by giving of ourselves, because that's what we saw Jesus do, right? He gave of himself all the time. We should love God with all of our heart. We should love others and esteem them more highly than ourselves. That's all giving, right? Because you're putting God before yourself. You're putting others before yourself. We should live sacrificial lives for God. But I want to tell you something else. Have you ever thought about the fact that as a Christian, you're also called to be a taker? You're called to be takers. I'm going to tell you why. To be successful, there's some things that you really have got to do. I'm talking about in God's standards, but you can even apply these maybe to some of these worldly successes. To be successful, you've really got to take chances, right? You got to take chances in your life. And I'm going from a godly angle. So sometimes you just simply have to do things based on faith, right? That's taking a chance. I'm taking a chance that I'm going to do this by faith and that I'm hearing God right, or that God is going to come through, that's, you're taking a chance. Sometimes you have to take a risk too, because that thing that you're doing may not make any sense at all. And faith may not just be enough for you. It's like, I'm totally taking a risk. I'm putting myself out here. I'm doing something that doesn't make sense. It's not going to make sense to the people around me, but I know this is what God told me to do, so I'm going to take a risk. And you also have to take orders from God. You have to be obedient. Okay, we're called to be takers. We're called to take risks, to take chances, to take orders from God, to have a successful Christian life. And I don't believe at all that it's an exaggeration to say that every person wants to hear from God, right? Is there any person that does not want to hear from God, right? Everybody wants to hear from God, but who would like for God to tell them audibly right now, just audibly, not only what you should do in a certain situation, but what lies ahead for you? Sign me up. Let's hear it, Lord. Pour it out. You know, you wouldn't be able to handle it if he told you what was coming, but we still would like it, okay? So how many of you then would say, I am willing to take a chance. I'm willing to take a risk. I'm willing to take orders to be successful in God's eyes. Because it comes down to one thing. We were just singing about it. Trust. Do you trust him? Can you really say, God, I trust you? The answer is probably sometimes. If you're looking for the right answer, it's probably sometimes, okay? You might be in a difficult situation or even an impossible situation, but we know that nothing is impossible with God. So, can you trust him today? Whatever your circumstances are, your situation, can you trust him? So I want to look at this story in Joshua. We're going to look at a story of trust, success, and even about Joshua being a taker instead of being the traditional giver. So if you want to follow along, you can flip to Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses here and then move on. But Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 5 says this. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who had served Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised to Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great Euphrates River, the land of the Hittites, and west of the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave or forsake you. For those that don't know the Old Testament well, you got to know that Moses had been leading people out in the wilderness, right? He'd brought them out of Egypt, out of captivity. He's leading them around the wilderness for, ends up being 40 years, and they're complaining and they're doing this and that. But Moses was the person that God had used to call them out of captivity in Egypt and was going to take them to the promised land. Okay, this land that God had for them that was going to be glorious, it was going to be great. So Moses, though, unfortunately did not do one of the three things that we talked about being a taker. He was not obedient, right? Moses was not obedient to God. He directly disobeyed something, and quite frankly, then he took credit for the water flowing from the rock. If you remember that, once he was to hit the rock with the staff and water would come out, so that worked. The next time God told him, speak to the rock, well, he didn't. He decided he's going to hit it again because that worked last time. And then he basically said, I provided this water for you, you know, to the people. So he was disobedient to the Lord. And because of this, God was like, no, you're not taking him in there. So God showed them, he showed Moses, he took him up and he showed him the promised land. He's like, here it is, look at all of it. He shows him all the promised land. And what he said at the end of Deuteronomy, just before Joshua, he said, I have let you see it, but you will not cross into it. And so Moses ended up dying before being able to lead them in. to the promised land. And this is where we picked up here in Joshua. So Joshua had been serving under Moses, right? Joshua was kind of like Moses' right-hand man. And we're even told that he was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid hands on him, right? So this wasn't like God picked a random person. Like, God had already told Moses be pouring into Joshua. Joshua was being poured into, and he was ready. And Joshua is God's choice here to continue what Moses had started, and he would be the one to eventually lead God's people into the promised land. Think about that. If you are Joshua and Moses, who had done all these things, just died, and God said, listen, Carter, you're next. You're taking over. All the stuff that your dad's been working on, now you're taking over. I'm trusting you to do this. I mean, think about this. Moses had not only done, but he had even seen great and mighty things. I mean, God had done things with Moses that we hadn't seen ever before. And God reassures Joshua. He says, you know, here's the plan. Here's what we're going to do. And he says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave or forsake you. Now, would that give you a little bit of comfort if you're like, wow, like him and Moses were really close. Like Moses got to see him. Moses got to go up the mountain and talk to him. And he's telling me that he's going to be with me just as he was with Moses. So he gives them some encouragement. God's like, man, you can do this because the only reason Moses could do it was because I was with him. I'm going to be with you just the same way. So what God was telling Joshua, he's telling him, you know, you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan. You and all the people get ready. You're going over the Jordan into the land that I am giving you. What he's telling Joshua is here is it's time to take the land. Like, you're going to cross over the Jordan and you are going to take that land that I have promised. You are going to take it over. It's yours, but you've got to go and take it. So success for the Israelites, we were talking about success. Success for them was just getting to that land, right? Because they thought if we can just get there, right? If we get there, when we get to this land, everything's good. We got our sights set on it. It was the mission and the goal of the people. It was what they were striving to do. And they've been waiting for this moment here when God tells Joshua, get ready. You're getting ready to take the people, you and all the people, you're going to go across. Now, if you think about the promised land, this was a literal physical place, right? On the earth, a place where they were going, actual land. It was a destination. This is the land that God's people were to go and dwell. It was the place that they were supposed to go and inhabit. So how does that apply to us today? How does that apply to Christianity today? We're not all going to pick up and move to the promised land. The Israelites don't even have all of the promised land today. The promised land is still a destination for you and me today. I want to tell you that. Maybe not literally. Maybe we're not going to literally go there, but figuratively, the mission, the goal for people in God's kingdom today is still to dwell in and walk in the promises of God. That's what my goal is in life. I want to dwell in, I want to walk in the promises of God. See, the promised land, that's what it represents. It represents the promises of God. If you look back at Deuteronomy 34, before Moses died, this is what God says. He's speaking to Moses. When he took him up there, and the Lord showed him all the land. Now, Christy had shared with me, she had studied that, and in the Hebrew, to see with your eyes was a symbol of legal acquisition of property. If you saw something, it was like a legal acquisition of property. So Moses here, when God takes him up, basically he's accepting that. He's taking it right then and there. Legally. I see the land. I see the land that the Lord has given me. This is now mine. I'm accepting it from God on behalf of the Israelites. I'm accepting ownership of the promised land. This is what that means for us today. When God shows you something, it's yours. That deserves more than one amen. When God shows you something, it's yours. Okay, I mean, you think about the things. Maybe you have a notebook. Listen, I know ladies are real good at journaling. I'm not. I'm terrible at it. I can't even remember where I left my journal. But I know that Christy and Natasha and Cheryl and Sherry, a lot of ladies, they tell me about, they write everything down. You can probably look back through there and you can find promises that God has given you. Things that he's told you, I'm going to do this in your life. Right? Listen, I want to tell you today, those things are yours. Like, that's not God's going to do it later. It's yours right now. Just like this promised land belonged to the Israelites right now. Long before they were in it, when God said, I'm going to give it to you, he said it way back to Abraham when he said he was going to give him the land. He gave him the land. It's his. It's theirs. And so when God says that something is yours, it's yours. When God makes promises, I'm going to tell you that he keeps those promises. It may seem impossible, it might seem unlikely, but can you trust him? Right? God gives us some ridiculous promises sometimes from our perspective, but can you trust him? Because if you can, he is faithful. If God shows you things, this is what you need to do. You need to accept them. You need to take ownership of them as if it was already done. This is why we proclaim healing in the name of Jesus. When he says, By your stripes, they were healed, right? That's what Peter tells us. You were healed. It's done. It's a purchase that has already been made. It is yours. It belongs to you. Go and get it. That's why we proclaim them and we do it with faith. So today I'm asking, what has the Lord shown you? What are the things that he has told you? What are the things that you need to be going out and taking ownership of? What are the things you need to be going out and getting them and getting? If you have those written down, write them, then that's great. Go back, highlight them, maybe make some new notes or whatever. But if you haven't written things down, I want you to take time this week. I want you to think about the things that God has promised you, and I want you to write them down. And then just like Joshua, the next step, go and take it. Go and take the land. Moses saw the land. He accepted it on behalf of Israel, but he didn't see it through. He didn't actually get to step foot on it. He didn't actually literally physically on this earth get to go there and take hold of it. Even though it was theirs, he did not possess it. Joshua was told to carry on the mission of Moses, and God said, go and take it. Go and get it. It's yours. You can sit on the promises all day long. You can believe in them. You can be firm and stand in them. But there will be a time and place in your life where God says, go take it. There will be a time where he's going to say, you know those things I've been telling you? It's time to act on it. It's time to move. It's time to go and take it. Go and take the land, and you better be ready to go. You better be ready to go. He's going to be with you. Just like he promised Joshua, there's no reason to be fearful of going because I'm going to be with you. And when I say it's time to go, it's time to go. Take the land. So how do we do that? What do I do? Well, first of all, we need to be ready. That's what he told us here in verse 1 through 5. He told Joshua, he said, for Joshua and all of his people, prepare to cross the Jordan. They got to be prepared. God doesn't just send you out on things without being prepared. Sometimes he may prepare you as you go, but I'm saying if he's given you a word, if he's told you something and not had you act on it, you're supposed to be getting prepared. You're supposed to be getting ready, okay? So sometimes you got to just be ready. Be ready to cross the river. Whatever's between you and God's promise, that's what represents this river. Whatever it is, whatever you got to get through or over or under, maybe you can go around it, I don't know. But you need to be ready to get across it. Whatever it is that is between you and God's promises for you, you got to be ready to get across to that other side. And I'm going to tell you a secret. It might be difficult. It might be difficult. There might be a strong current when you get in that river trying to pull you one way or trying to push you the other. There might be a strong current. There might be debris coming your way. Not all rivers are clean. You go to cross that river, there might be junk coming your way that you got to dodge as you're crossing that river. But be ready to wade through it. Be ready to swim. Be ready to get a canoe. Whatever you've got to do, because I promise you that if God has told you to get to the other side, then whatever is over there is worth it. Whatever is over there is worth the trip. It's worth the struggle, no matter how hard it is. God follows that up in verse 6. talking to Joshua, he says, "Be strong and courageous, for I will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous." You get this? He already said it once. Now he says, "Above all, be very strong and courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction may not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous?" "Yes, Lord, you have, twice." "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Man, this right here, on this principle right here, is where God is saying to Joshua, go and take the land. Be prepared. Now here's the instructions. Here's how you're going to do it. Consider the promises in your life that you may still be waiting on. Just think about them if you have any. While you're waiting, I'm going to tell you that God is working. That's a guarantee. While you're waiting, God is working. And when he says, take the land, if you're prepared, hopefully you've been preparing, he says next you need to be strong and courageous. Listen, I'm going to tell you that you can't just go and take the land just because you're a great leader. You can't go and take the land just because you're a faithful follower. It's because the God that you serve is with you. And because of that, you are able to be strong and courageous to cross the river, to get over there, and to take the land. I'm telling you, as Christians, I believe right now is the time for us to be takers. You know, we're giving up our land in this country. We're giving it up. We're losing ground. And today, I believe it's time for Christians to be takers. It's time for us to cross the river and be taking things back. We don't have to put up with the things that people put up with in this world. We can stand on the righteousness of God. We can stand on the truths of his word. It's time to be bold. This is what it means to be strong and courageous, to be bold, to be determined, and to prevail. Listen, if you aren't, you will not be up to the challenge. If you're not bold, determined, and you just insist, like, I'm going to prevail, you will not have what it takes to get across that river. You won't. Because the current will start coming. The debris will start floating your way, and you'll want to get back out. You've got to be bold. You've got to be strong. You've got to be courageous. I'm going to tell you what, maybe that's not you right now. Maybe you can say, that's not me. I'm not bold. I'm not courageous. I don't have what it takes. But God is saying you can become that through him. Because he will go with you, right? You might not be bold and courageous, but you have him with you. He says, don't fear. Don't be anxious. We're not to feel inadequate. I'm going to tell you what. If you ever feel inadequate for something that God is telling you to do, you're believing the lies of the devil. I can promise you that there is no one in this room that is inadequate for what God has equipped you to do. You might be inadequate for what someone else expects you to do. Maybe even expectations you have on yourself. But the things that God has set aside and said, Sherry, these are the things that I have for you to do. You are perfectly capable and adequate to do those things. He provides us the things that we need to do his will on this earth. We cannot have fear. We cannot be anxious or feel inadequate or like we're not worthy. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. These are the things that will cause you to be afraid and to keep you from taking the land. Fear, anxiety. They'll keep you from taking the land. God, that's not of God. God gives us power. Man, thank you, Jesus, that you give us power, right? That's the power that we need, okay? It's time to be strong and courageous. It doesn't matter if you are now, it's time to become it in him. There's this Rick Pino song, I've shared it before. It talks about We cut off the giant's head. We eat giants for our bread. I love this song. I don't even know what it's called. But he has another line in that song, and he talks about the weapons of our warfare. They are mighty through our God. Listen, your weapons are junk on your own. But the weapons of your warfare, they are mighty through our God. We have to get over the past and get to that next level. We have to be able to move forward and take the land. So again, are you willing to take risks? Are you willing to take chances? Are you willing to take orders? Do you trust him? These are questions you've got to ask yourself if you're going to take the land. We must carefully observe the whole instruction, is what he tells Joshua. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. Man, this is key in having success in taking the land right here, following God's instruction, being obedient. It's key to taking the land, right? If you're going to do it in his power, don't you think that you need to listen to what he says? Do it the way that he wants it done? Luke 11:28, he said, even more, those who hear the word of God and keep it are blessed. Man, who doesn't want to be blessed? I want to take the land and I want blessing. I want God's blessing in doing it, right? You don't want things done without your blessing in your family, right? God doesn't want things done in his family without his blessing. He wants us to be obedient, to keep his word and be blessed in advancing and taking the land. Without God's leading, I'm going to tell you what, it could be possible to take the land. It could be. You might just be a good enough leader or vocal enough or pushy enough. You might be able to do it on your own will to take the land without God's help. I'm going to tell you what it won't be possible to do is it won't be possible for you to keep it. You might be able to force your way in and take it, but you will not be able to keep it without the power of God. See, the promised land, it was promised to be Israel's forever. You realize that? I mean, the Israelites don't have control of the promised land right now. You realize that? They don't have control of it. There's all kinds of other people there. There's war and stuff going on in the promised land. They don't have it right now, but it was promised to be given to them forever. And you think about, well, this earth is temporary, right? So is it really theirs forever? Because forever is beyond this earth, right? Yes, this earth is temporary. We're told in Revelation that the earth will be purged, that we'll have a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. That's the promised land. That's why it's called the New Jerusalem, right? It's going to descend upon this earth. We're going to see it coming down. The promised land. Is the promised land theirs today? No. They don't have actual control of it. They're not inhabiting the land. But that doesn't mean that it's not theirs. See, God has given it to them. They could get there on their own. They could just decide we're going there. But you know why they're not there? You know why they don't inhabit the land? Why they don't have control of it? Is because they have not been obedient to God. That's why the Israelites do not inhabit the land. Disobedience. They've gone astray. They've gone away from his promises. It's still supposed to be their land today because God promised it. He said it will always be theirs. But it doesn't mean that they would always inhabit the land. Joshua 1:8 again said, the book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. There are three things right here in this verse that God tells us. Three things we've got to do to prosper and succeed in not only taking the land, but keeping the land. The first one, he says, the book of instruction, it must not depart from your mouth. This is truth. This is the truth of God. These are the promises of God. They must not be removed from your mouth. Don't let fear, don't let negativity, don't let doubt, don't let lies replace the truths and the promises of God. How many of you have stood on a promise of God and then days, weeks, months later, you're like, that's never going to happen for me, right? I've prayed about that. That's not going to happen. Like, he's not going to do that in my life. listen, what you're doing is you're removing God's word from your mouth and you're replacing it with negativity. You're replacing it with, listen, faith in the enemy, right? You either have faith in God that he can do it, or you have faith in the enemy that the enemy's going to win. Okay, don't replace the words of God, the truths of God, the promises of God with negativity and lies and fear and doubt. He also tells them that you're to recite it day and night. Listen, we're to speak out the promises of God. Man, if God has shared promises with you, if they're to share with other people, share them. If they're for this church, share them. If they're for you, speak it out. Tell somebody. Tell somebody, man, this is what God told me he's going to do. It doesn't matter how ridiculous it sounds. I'm going to tell you what God doesn't care. He doesn't care if I tell Marissa something and Marissa thinks I'm silly or I'm crazy. He cares, do I believe the promises that he's got for my life? What do I think about him? That's what he cares about. He doesn't care what other people think. We've got to speak out his promises. We've got to do this boldly. We've got to have confidence, and we've got to do it day and night. Day and night. Do you catch that? That means when things are bright and they're looking good. And that means at night when things are dark and they look grim, you still have to speak out the promises of God. Just because it looks dark outside, it doesn't mean that God's promises still don't apply to your life. It doesn't mean that he didn't promise it. Right? It doesn't matter what it looks like. Day or night, we've got to speak out the promises of God, and we've got to speak them out as if they've already been done, because I'm telling you right now, the land is yours. He has told you that it's yours. That means it's yours, and you need to go and take it. Go and take the land. The third thing he tells us right here in verse 8 is, he said, observe everything written in it. This is the result of God's promises remaining on your lips and you speaking them day and night. Observe everything written in it. This means to do, to accomplish, or to produce. That's what it means here, to observe. You will produce those promises in your life. You ever heard that before about how powerful words are and how we can speak things into existence? Listen, you can't just go out here and just keep saying Ferrari, 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 Ferrari. That's not what it means. Okay, I tried it. It didn't work. No, but you know what I mean? It's not, our words are powerful. Our words can do, we can do mighty things through our words. What God is saying is, my promises coming from your lips, by your faith and my promises, when those things are combined, and again, it takes a long time sometimes across the river, but you will produce those promises in your life, right? It's time to be a taker, right? I'm going to go and I'm going to get those promises by declaring them, no matter what people say, no matter what it looks like, because I believe that God has told me this, and I'm going to produce it by my faith, by speaking it out, by not looking the other way. I'm going to take the land. God's word is important. All these revolve around his promises and his word. His word is important. His word is truth. We need to know it, study it, think about it, obey it. God has to be the priority if we're going to take the land. For the Israelites, you know, it wasn't about Moses. It wasn't about Joshua. I mean, you think about if you're one of the people, right? And Moses dies. I mean, that could be pretty rough, right? You're a leader for 40 years. And like, we're almost there, and this guy's going to die. Nobody else even knows where we're going. It's got to be rough, but it wasn't about Moses. And then it wasn't about Joshua taking over. It wasn't even about Abraham, who God originally made the promises to. The priority was God, because the promises were his. The promises weren't Moses's. The promises weren't Joshua's. They weren't Abraham's. The promises were God's. He is the priority. He is faithful. He's the one that delivers. He's the one whose leading we need. I'm telling you that we can be supernaturally strengthened and given courage by his spirit. And that's what we need, because his presence has to go with us. His presence has to go with us. You notice he told Joshua that in the first part. Don't worry about it. I'll go with you. Then he also tells him that at the end of the second part about being strong and courageous. Again, he says, but I will be with you. I will go with you. Because of me, you will be able to do these things. Verse 9, he says, haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, Joshua was the one to lead the people into the promised land, but Joshua was being led by God's presence. Everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. Every single thing. You have to connect the dots sometimes, but it all points to Jesus. Joshua in Hebrew is Yeshua. Guess what Jesus is in Hebrew? Yeshua. It means God is salvation. See, Joshua led the people into the promised land, but what this foreshadowed was Jesus leading us into the promised land. This foreshadowed Jesus saying, you know what? But I've got the spiritual promised land, the one that you don't have to physically inhabit, but spiritually you can right now, today. It can be yours. You just need to go and take it. Right? He puts that responsibility back on us. He did it. He did the work. He provided access to the promised land. And he says, now you come and take it. You come forward and take it. I've provided it for you. Jesus provided a way for all believers to become more than believers, but to become followers. He led us back into that relationship with the Father. He redeemed us. He restores us. And it's in him we find rest. Jason, if you guys would come. Stand with me for a moment. And just think about some of these things here. You know, you may have been wandering around in the wilderness, waiting to take the land on whatever your situation is in your life. It may have been the last 40 years. It may have been 40 hours. But I'm going to tell you, today, because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of his death, his resurrection, listen, we can take the land. You, today, have the ability to take the land. What has the Lord shown you? What things in your life do you need to take ownership of today? And you're like, you know what? God has promised this to me. I have yet to receive it. Maybe you've been negative. Maybe you've been discouraged and dismayed. It's time to be strong and courageous. It's time to go and take it and say, this is mine. Because God said that it's mine. Romans 8:37, he says, yet in all these things we become more than conquerors through him who loved us. I mean, it doesn't matter what you feel like right now. It doesn't, you might be weak and afraid. You might be weak and afraid. But I'm telling you that through Christ, you can become strong and courageous. Through Christ, you are a conqueror. Through Christ, you can take the land. What I'm asking is, do you trust him today? If you have land that you need to take control of, you need to take hold of, I want you to come forward. This is what we're going to do today. I'm going to have Ben and Christy, if you guys could pray for people over here on this side. Anyone else, if you don't need prayer, if you're just like, I know what I need, and it's time for me to come and take the land, this whole front's going to be open. I want you to come forward, whether you're on the worship team or upstairs, it doesn't matter. I want you to come forward and take what's yours. And I'm going to read some promises of God as you come forward. Listen, we're to stand on his promises, accept his challenge, and obey his command, and take the land. God promised salvation to all who believe in his Son. God promised that all things work out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his will and his purpose. God's promised comfort in trials. God promised new life. Listen, the old life, the weak, the scared, the anxious, that doesn't have to be you. He says be strong and courageous because in Christ you can have new life. He promised every spiritual blessing in Christ. He promised to finish the work that he started in you. Listen, if you've come a long way and you feel like you've slipped back and you feel like you're always going back and forth, I'm telling you that God's promise is that he's going to keep working on you. God's promise is that he's not going to give up. God promised peace when we pray. He promised to supply all of our needs in Christ. Jesus promised us rest. He said, if you come to me, you will find rest. He promised us an abundant life in John 10:10. Live life and life more abundantly. He promised eternal life. He promised his disciples, which is you and me, power from on high. That same power that we need to be bold and courageous. And he promised that he will return for us. Thank you, Jesus. So again, these altars are open. If you want to receive prayer, you can go to one of these. If you want, just come and seek the Lord on your own. You can come down to the front, but this is it. Today is the day to take the land. Whatever your needs are in your life, whatever God has spoken to you, if he's spoken something, come and take it. If you need some of those promises that he's given us in his word, I want you to come and get prayer and just say, hey, I need this. I need help. I want to receive today. I've had enough. I'm ready to take the land. I'm ready to have strength. I'm ready to have courage in my life. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God can do those things in our lives? I do. I know that he can. You know why? Because his word says that he can. He's the Lord over all. He is the God above all things. He created this earth and everything in it. Right? So come worship the Lord today, but come and receive. If you need to take the land, man, don't let this be an opportunity that passes you by. Make sure that you seize it today. So begin to come as you're ready.